The subject of our study this morning will be the darkness of Scripture. The darkness of Scripture. Over the last 15 years or so, we have seen that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And I hope you now believe and understand that. It was written by some 40 different writers, yet over centuries, and it all fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. Many of these men that wrote the Scripture had never seen one another, never heard of one another, as a matter of fact. Yet these writers were instruments of God Himself through the Holy Spirit. They were driven like a ship. It's like when a ship, the sails are broken off and the wind takes it. No matter where the wind goes, the ship must go with it. That's how these writers were driven. It's like a leaf floating down a stream. The water carries it along, and the Holy Spirit carried these prophets and writers of the Scripture like that. It's almost like riding in one of these new Tesla cars with no driver. There's a view coming, you don't know where it is or how you're going, but that's how they were taken along, driven by the Holy Spirit in what they wrote. They prophesied hundreds of years before Moses, and they even wrote after Moses, clear up until the time of Christ, after Job. There was no room in their writings for their own thoughts, ideas, or suggestions. It was not their place to be theologians or thinkers, but to write what God thought the Holy Spirit told them to write, instruments in His hand only. They didn't have some kind of app where they had word processing or spell check. They did have an app that you could refer to as the Masoretic text that made sure that all the writings were always accurate and that we have these writings still today. And consequently, as a result of these writers of Scripture, we have this magnificent record of God's purpose and plan for the ages. However, with the title of our lesson this morning, The Darkness of Scripture, some of you may have some misgivings because it seems to be in direct contradiction to weeks and years of lessons that we have studied. But I want to assure you that the title does in no way suggest the slightest distrust in Scripture. It reminds me of my father. He said, "I believe the whole Bible." He said, "I believe it cover to cover." He said, "I even believe what it says on the front, Holy Bible." And I said, "Yeah, you even believe at the back where it says genuine leather. You believe that as well." I believe it's all true because we have learned it is God-breathed to these writers. Then what do I mean by the darkness of Scripture? I mean that the Scripture nowhere claims to reveal all of God's purposes and ways that can be understood by men. It's almost like the universe where there's black holes, and we're trying to comprehend what those black holes are. We find in Scripture glimpses of things which our finite minds cannot comprehend or understand. In fact, Christ Himself said, "I have many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now." The Scriptures give us just so much as we are capable of understanding here and now. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That was our scripture from last week. Kind of jogged my mind a little bit what Tim read. So we're taking our lesson this week from last week's scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is, of course, the love chapter that we read last week for Valentine's week of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at about three verses out of that chapter, beginning with the ninth verse of that 13th chapter, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now, I want to take a look at a couple of the Greek words there in that verse 12, where it says, "But for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." The Greek word there is genosko, to know, genosko. But then the next phrase, but then I shall know, that's not the same word. It's epigenosko. In other words, one is to know, but the epigenosko is to know fully. And that's what we don't have today. We don't know fully because he hasn't chosen to tell us all. We are limited by the darkness that exists in certain places of Scripture. We simply do not know, because now we are looking by means of what I would describe as a dirty mirror or a dirty glass, and it's an enigma, a riddle, a darkness, a puzzle. It's not written to be a puzzle. It's not meant to not be able to figure it out. It's written for our understanding, but only that which he chose to tell us. And it will only be resolved when we see him face to face, as he did with Moses. But there is a purpose for this obscurity and a purpose for this darkness. Let me give you an example of this darkness that we face. Genesis 1:1 says, in beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In Revelation, he says, I am the beginning. And so here we have a time, a beginning. We have a person involved. It seems simple enough. It's a simple sentence. There's a verb, create. There's a subject, which is God. There's objects, heaven and earth. There's time for the action there in the beginning. And nothing could be simpler than that statement, in the beginning I created the heavens and the earth. The key word is not that difficult. A child is able to read this and get it. It really couldn't be a whole lot simpler. But let's look at the word create. What does it mean? What does it imply? Our connotation of create is to take something that is made up of 92 elements and put it together and make, quote, make something. But if create is to make something out of nothing, we do not have the remotest idea of what it is involved. Science is trying to figure it out, but they also see through a glass darkly. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Man is still trying to figure that out. He's got a superconductor. He's trying to find the God particle. Things that are made out of that which does not appear, which you cannot see. It paralyzes the mind to think that at one moment there was nothing, and in the next there were 92 elements immediately present that you could take and make something out of. And man is doing that, but he can't create. God created. Yet at the first glance, we honestly think we know what is meant to create. But God leaves this part out. We receive only limited information in this regard. It's not explained, and so it is darkness to us. Look at the word God. We believe He is our salvation. We pray to Him. We endure for His sake. We suffer loss. To Him our lives and service are dedicated. We confess that we know Him. We sing like He was our well-known friend. Yet we must confess we have never heard His voice, never seen His shape or His face. We are sure that He is a person, yet He is here and there all at the same time. He's a spirit. Well, what is there revealed about that? What laws apply in that realm? Are spirits subject to gravity? Do they feel heat and cold? Do they see more than we see? Do they travel from place to place? Are they limited by time and place? Their answer is, we don't know. We have a dark mirror. God limited our knowledge until we are face to face and know, not in part, but one day in whole. The same thing is true of the word heaven. What do you know about it? It means something beyond our atmosphere. Is it beyond the blue? Is it up or down? Beyond space? We say heaven and we point up. The Chinaman, he's on the other side of the earth. He says heaven, he points down. The guy that's on the equator, he points east. The other guy on the other points west. 24 hours later, they switch and they point in the other direction. Where is it? What is it? Does it have a floor? A roof? Is it bounded or unbounded? Is it visible or invisible? We simply do not know. Is it a glass darkly? What about the word beginning? What is that in that sentence? The beginning of what? God says, I am the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the age? The beginning of time? Is it for philosophy? Can eternity have a beginning, as a matter of fact? Things eternal have no legitimate beginning or end. Man's theology says that things that don't have any beginning never can exist. God doesn't tell us. all these things that we apply to the beginning and to heaven and our hopeless conjecture. And of course, many of these baffling problems are cleared up by a deeper understanding of Scripture. That's true. But when all is said and done, the wisest and most learned, together with the ignorant and the dull, still confess, we see only in part, through a glass darkly. God has limited our Scripture to what we can bear and understand. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. You can't explain it to a peanut brain like mine. He could not communicate to me what you can do with something that's unseen or invisible. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Some of what he made from that which was invisible, we can see. He turned it into a physical something or other that we can look at. But there's other things, powers and dominions and molecules and atoms and so forth. Man's caught up to some degree, but he'll never see through this glass darkly. It is a realm that is beyond our capacity to comprehend, and God left it out of Scripture. So, what is the point? Well, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Wherefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a transfigured transformation, transformed to myself into Apollos for your sakes. You cannot turn to the writings of man that deal with subjects which go entirely beyond the inspired limits of Scripture. This is the only playbook. And it is what God would have you to know. As Paul says there in verse 5, judge nothing until the time when he shall come and reveal the hidden things that are now seen through a glass darkly. That is our hope, to know fully his will. Search the Scriptures and learn what is found there. But where God is silent, it is of the highest wisdom for us to be silent also. Because the silence is inspired. Where there is nothing, nothingness is inspired. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The light of Scripture is light. Is like driving down a serpentine highway in the middle of the night. And the headlights on your car show just far enough around the curve and the next curve, but the darkness is there. And the Scripture lightens your path in that way. As you learn, you see. And that's why it's so important to spend time in God's Word. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly or thoroughly furnished to all good works. There's enough here that you need to know. And that's why you continue to be diligent, so that you have that light of light in your life. And the darkness, which so many Christians can't comprehend, because they haven't really studied what's been provided to give them light. Don't worry about the deep holes of Scripture and the things that you cannot understand. They're sufficient unto the day of Christ. It is the inspired Word of God. It is thoroughly furnishing us to light in our lives. Where the sun shines, there is light, but where the Spirit and knowledge of the Word is, there is liberty. It gives you freedom. Life, light, and liberty belong to each other as surely as death, darkness, and bondage belong to each other. I'm thankful this morning. Let us be thankful this morning that we walk and can walk in the light of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this light, for the written word. We ask that you would continue to enlighten us with what you have given us, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love, the love of Christ our Savior. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.